These are a little more difficult verses, right, as we get into these. And I'm going to make a statement before we read verse 4 through verse 11, okay? God uses discipline. If you have your notes, it's number 23. God uses discipline to produce holiness in his people. That's what he does. God uses discipline to produce holiness, okay, in his people. That's the subject of verse 4 through verse 11. So notice as we come to verse 4, and I want you to notice what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, you have not yet resisted unto blood. In other words, you have not been to that level yet. And that's what you need to consider. After all of these, a great cloud of witnesses, the description that we have of Jesus Christ in verse 2 and verse 3, who went through all of that, endured the cross, despising the shame, suffered, bled, and died. Here's what he tells all of those who are thinking about going to Judaism. Here's what he said. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood for it. Striving against sin. In other words, all of those things that come as a result of living in the world. Verse 5, he says, by the way, you've even forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you're rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens or disciplines and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening or discipline, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens or disciplines not? But if you be without discipline or chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards or illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, verse 9, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reference. Now, the writer of Hebrews is talking about that childhood discipline here. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us or disciplined us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And that phrase, partakers of his holiness, is interesting because here's what he's talking about here. It's one of the attributes of God's character. And then verse 11, now, he said, I understand. And we all understand this, that no discipline or no chastening, okay, that happens right now for the present appears to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The key word in these verses that we have seen all the way up through verse 11 is chastening, or the word discipline. It comes from a Greek word, and here's what it means. It means child rearing. It means instruction. It means very detailed discipline. That's the context of that word. It's very specific. Number 24, the statement of verse 4 puts the struggles of the readers of Hebrews in perspective. Because now all of a sudden the struggles that they're experiencing going through, when you take and you compare them with those, including Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, who lost their life as a result of their relationship with God, you need to consider yourself against that. although they had experienced hardship, they had not yet faced resistance to the point of shedding blood. They had not gotten to that point. Number 25, none of them had suffered martyrdom. Their sufferings had by no means reached the severity of those that Jesus endured. And so he says, you need to understand, you need to compare that to that. You need to look to that side. Number 26, sin in verse 4 speaks of the world. The persecution often employs even violent measures against true believers. That's happening tonight as we're sitting in this auditorium. There are those tonight who are suffering under the hand of persecution, some even to the point of losing their lives tonight, okay, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their sufferings had by no means, matter of fact, in number 26, to the point of threatening their life. In such cases, it is important to remain faithful and obedient even unto death. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That is easier said than done. And I hear people say this all the time, okay? Well, bless God, if they come in after me pointing a gun, I'm going to say, you might as well take your best shot. Really? You mean you wouldn't sit and try to have a conversation with them first, okay? Or look for a place to go, all right? You know, those type of situations, we need to carefully consider in our own lives. Look at verse 5 again. Because here's what he also tells them now. He said, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. What exhortation is the writer of Hebrews talking about here? He's talking about what comes up. Matter of fact, he's getting ready to quote Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 12. Matter of fact, if you hold your place right there and go back to Proverbs and look at chapter 3 and look at verse 11 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 12. What he's going to do is going to quote this out of Proverbs. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter number 11. Verse 5 and verse 6 is that quotation from Proverbs chapter number 3. Now, what do we gain out of this? Well, there are three important aspects that we get from this passage that I want you to see tonight. First of all, some are indifferent to the discipline of God, but it's necessary. The discipline of God is necessary. A child left to his own ways bringeth his mother shame. Discipline is necessary. How many of us would take our children and never apply discipline to them? Okay? We discipline them, why? Because we love them. I never could understand that. I used to always say, if you loved me, you wouldn't make me do that. If you loved me, you wouldn't whip me. Okay? If you loved me, you would buy this for me. Okay? So apparently the more whippings I got, I guess he loved me more, huh? I guess that's one way you could. But it's necessary. And to understand that, not to be indifferent to it. Because one of the things that we need to understand and we need to keep in the back of our minds is what we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And if you'll just turn over there, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and verse 20. These two verses you need to keep. You need to keep these in the forefront of your mind. Chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and verse 20. And I want you to notice what Paul says. He said, what? He says, do you not know, or know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And then you ought to underline this next phrase, and you are not your own. Why? Why aren't you your own? Well, look at verse 20. You've been bought with a price. So as a result of that, we need to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which belong to who? So I had to go get in my car and have a time. Let me tell you something. I came home and told Wanda about it, and I said, right now, I'm probably the most humble one individual right now I believe there is. I said, I feel horrible. I could have missed an opportunity that God had put together. And you say, well, that was just a coincidence. For him to sit there with me from 2:30 to 3:15. I don't think so. Number 30. Some believers may well be in danger of ignoring or dismissing the fact that God's hand is at work as much through life's difficulties as it is in its joys and its pleasures. You know, sometimes you got to learn things the hard way. Wouldn't it be a lot easier if we just learned things the easy way? Even when it comes to God. Number 31, he may well be saying something very important to us through our different trials that we could not or would not easily receive if everything went well for us all the time. Huh. How many of y'all get real concerned when everything's going along real well for an extended period of time? Huh? Number 32. Okay. Others become overwhelmed by it. There's a proper response to that discipline. Far from disregarding what the Lord is saying to them through suffering, some Christians lose courage when adversity overtakes them. I have seen when adversity comes, instead of running to him, they run from him. Now hold on just a minute. But before we think we have done reached this spiritual plateau in our lives, okay? That's easier said than done to run to him, okay, in the time of difficulty, okay? Because I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes it becomes we lose courage. It's easy to do. Under the load of these difficulties, they become despondent, and they even get to the point that they feel that the Lord must have forsaken them. Sometimes you feel like, God, where are you at? I mean, God, do you know where I am? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to share something. Those of you who are at the senior adult luncheon, just bear with me, okay? Go to Psalm 139, okay? Psalm 139. If you have never read the 139th Psalm, this ought to be one you put right at the top of your list. The 139th Psalm will help get you through tomorrow. It's made up of four different stanzas of six verses each for a total of 24 verses. The first set is verse 1 through verse 6. And notice it says, O Lord, you have searched me and you've known me. You know my down sitting, you know my uprising, you understand my thought afar off. Look at verse number 4. Before a word ever comes out of my mouth, you already know what it is. And then look at verse 6 of that first set. He said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high, I cannot attain to it. Then you go to the next set. Starting in verse number 7. And basically, this deals with, it doesn't matter where I go, I cannot get out of his sight. Doesn't matter how high, how low, doesn't matter where it is. And matter of fact, in verse number 12, he says, yea, the darkness hides not from you, But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike. In other words, they're the same to you. And then you come to verse 13. You see the next set. He said, matter of fact, he said, you possessed my reins. You covered me in my... In other words, before I was ever born, it was you that formed me. And look at verse 14. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then it goes all the way down. Look at verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God. And notice what they say. How great is the sum of them. Now, I want you to understand, I just went through and did all this to the senior adults yesterday before I'm standing at the counter in the doctor's office. And it was like at the end of it, God said, okay, you just stood in there and you just taught them out of Psalm 139. Where are you? Holy Spirit has a way of doing that. And then verse 23 and verse 24, David closes it with this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Number 34 in your notes, the believer who goes through severe trouble must remember, therefore, that the God who tests us is the same Lord who helps us. And then number 3, Scripture teaches that we should, that's a tough one. You're going to see it here. That we ought to do what? We ought to rejoice in our what? In the good times? Yeah. How about those tough times? Look at verse 6 again. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens or disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Every one of them. Number 36, testing and trials should not drive us to despair. Those who are not loved in this special way are not tested. Just hold your place right there in chapter 12. Flip over a couple of pages to James chapter number 1. And I want you to notice James chapter 1 and look at verse number 2. And I want you to notice what James says about this same subject. He says, my brethren, he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to count it all joy when you fall into divers or different types of temptations or trials. That word temptation and trial, there's the same Greek word, okay? Trials, temptations. Count it all joy when you fall into that. Now, I'm just going to stand right here and tell you, that is not easy to do. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Please don't ever do this. Don't ever get on your knees before God and pray and ask God to give you patience. Because you may not like the way he does it. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, and notice this, wanting nothing. And then if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything, and the Lord, a double-minded man, is unstable in all of his ways. Count it all joy. Boy, it's tough to do. I'll just tell you. All right. Number 37 in your notes. Jesus told his disciples that they should expect adversity. When he called them before he went to the cross. When you have some time, for the sake of time tonight, I'm going to go there. I'm going to give you this passage. You can write it down. You can go look at it later. John 15:18. Here's what Jesus told his disciples. He's getting ready to go to the cross. Chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. Are the final words before we see him before Pilate in chapter 18, or chapter 18, before he goes to the cross in the book of John. Okay? Here's what he tells his disciples. Here's one of the things you need to get ready for. The world hates me, they're going to hate you. And they're going to hate you for my sake. That's what's going to happen. adversity is going to come. You're going to experience and suffer adversity, persecution, and all of those things simply because of me. Do we see that today? Yes. Nothing has changed. It's the same. Number 38, the Lord disciplines every son whom he receives. Doesn't matter who you are. If you belong to him, he is your heavenly father, he's going to discipline you at some point, unless you're an angel. I have a daughter that thinks she's an angel. Starts with an S. I won't tell you her name. You see, the Lord's correction, here's what it does. The Lord's correction in our lives affirms our relationship with him. Our spirit, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we know that we belong to the Lord. Verse 7 through verse 11. You know, verse 10, to live for the Lord is to live in holiness. And we saw that at the end of verse number 10. You know, for a few days, they disciplined us after their own pleasure. But here's what I want you to understand. The reason he disciplines us is for our profit. Now, I remember hearing this from my dad, okay? Son, I'm doing this for your own good. Let me ask you a question. How many of us have ever disciplined out of anger? Was that for the good of the child? No. Do we ever have to worry about that with God? No. If he disciplines us, we deserve it. And he never disciplines us out of anything more than to produce holiness in our own lives. It's part of the growing process. Verse 11, discipline itself is not meant to be pleasant. It's not supposed to be. By its very nature, discipline is unpleasant to administer and to endure. How many of you, after you left home and you had your first children and the first time you had to ever discipline one of your own children, what did it feel like? Now I understand what mom and dad meant when they said what they said. It hurts me worse than it hurts you. Our one child, that her name begins with an S, I'll tell you, she was so good she never had to get a whipping. So the writer of Hebrews says to those who are looking to go back to Judaism, you need to understand, and if any of y'all tell her that tonight after church, okay, I will deny, okay, ever saying it. Yeah, I'll get a whipping after it's over with. Trying to get to Judaizer, those who are looking to go back to Judaism, to carefully consider, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ and you belong to him, he's going to discipline you. You're going to suffer adversity and persecution, but it's only to move you toward a more holy life for him. So, that's up through verse 11. Any comments, any thoughts?